Okay, so we also, of course, have Parshas Balak, right? And this week we're going to catch up with Eretz Yisrael because we were off by a Parsha for the last month. So Parshas Balak has a lot of interesting themes in it, but I wanted to focus on something which I think is maybe not as focused on. It's based on a Gemara at the end of the first Perek of Brachos. At the end of the first Perek of Brachos in Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara in Brachos makes a very, very strange comment that says the Gemara has what's called a Hava Amina. The Gemara had a thought that maybe instead of reciting, you know, the usual paragraphs that we say for Shema, maybe we should recite parts of Parshas Balak for Shema. Now, the Gemara ultimately rejects that for very technical reasons, because it's too long, and it's going to be what's called a tircha de tzibura. It's going to be too much of a pain in the neck to have people sit here and read all of Parshas Balak every single day. It's too much of a hassle. So the Gemara says, fine, we're not going to read Parshas Balak because it's too much of a hassle. But the question, of course, is, what was the Hava Amina? You know, why would I have thought that I can read, like, what does Parshas Balak have anything at all to do with Kriya Shema, right? It seems like the two things have nothing to do with each other. So the truth is that I think there are actually a number of connections between Parshas Balak and Kriya Shema. So first of all, just if you look through some of the psukim in the Parsha, some of the brachos that Bilam, or the brachos or klalos that Bilam gives, so if you look, for example, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk says, Hen am levadad yishkon uvagoyim lo yischasha. Now, the simple pshat of that Pasuk means that the Jewish people sit apart from all other nations. If you look at Targum Onkelos, he says what that means is that in the future, when Mashiach comes, we alone, the Jewish people alone, are going to inherit the world. But maybe you could suggest something which I think could relate to Shema, is that maybe the phrase in the Pasuk, Hen am levadad yishkon, which again, we usually thought meant that the Jewish people dwell alone, we're separate from everyone else. Maybe you can argue that we are, that the, what that phrase really means is, we are a nation that is levadad yishkon, that we focus on the being that is levadad, that is one, that is unique, that is alone, which of course is Hashem. Hashem is yachidu miyuchad. We describe Hashem in Shema as Hashem Echad, right? Echad doesn't just mean one, it means singular, it means unique, that Hashem is a unique being apart from every other being in the world, right? So the idea, of course, of Shema is the notion of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, the notion that we accept Hashem as our God, which could theoretically be expressed from this Pasuk as well. If you look in the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud, the Pasuk says, Mi mana afar Yaakov umispar es rova Yisrael. Who is going to count the dust of Yaakov and calculate the rova Yisrael, which according to Rashi is a reference to the acts of relations that B'nai Yisrael have. If you look in the Haksava HaKabbalah, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, in his commentary on this pasuk, he claims that this phrase "Mimana Afar Yaakov" is a reference to the greatness of B'nai Yisrael, to the fact that we are able to fuse together physicality and spirituality. The afar, the dust, is of course a reference to chumrius or gashmius, the physicality. The fact that we are able to combine physicality with spirituality is something for which we are praised. And in fact, the Rambam famously also writes, if you look in the paragraph of the Hayayim Shema that we say in Shema, so every promise that Hashem says, if you keep the Torah and mitzvahs, what's going to happen? Hashem says, V'nasati gishmecha, I'm going to give you rain, I'm going to give you crops. The question is, why doesn't Hashem say, I'm going to give you olam haba, I'm going to give you schar, right? Why, in other words, why are the rewards for keeping Torah and mitzvahs physical? In fact, the Gemara even says in Maseches Kiddushin that schar mitzvah b'hai al-maleika, that there is no physical reward for observing the Torah and mitzvahs. All our reward is reserved for olam haba. So the question is, why then do the psukim talk about physical reward? The Rambam says that those rewards are just meant to enable us to continue learning and doing more mitzvos. In other words, you can't function, you can't learn and do mitzvos unless you have, you know, food to eat, unless you have rain that's watering your crops. You need certain basic physical things in order to be able to function and continue to learn and continue to be able to do mitzvos. In fact, also just by the way, parenthetically, the Rambam, in the beginning of Orach Chaim and Siman Vav, when he's discussing the bracha of Asher Yatzar, he comments on the last two words of the bracha of Umafli La'asos. He says, what is it exactly about creation that is so wondrous? So one of the interpretations that the Rama offers is the fact that mankind, as opposed to every other creature in the world, is able to combine physical and spiritual aspects of themselves, that they are able to be a combination of physicality and spirituality, he says, is a wondrous thing. Then if you look also a few more points here, if you look a little bit later in the parsha, the pasuk says hen am kilaviyakum v'chaarias nasa, that Bnei Yisrael are compared to a female lion and to a male lion who glorifies themselves. If you look at Rashi on that pasuk in Perek Chav Gimel pasuk Chav Dalid, Rashi says that when we wake up in the morning, we have to strengthen ourselves like a lion. What does that mean? We have to do mitzvos, we have to wear tefillin, and we have to recite Shema. Those are the three things that Rashi, we have to wear tzitzis, tefillin, and Shema. Those are the three things that Rashi mentions. So you see that this notion of strength of a lion is associated with reciting Shema. And then finally, if you look in the following parak, the parak Chav Dalad, Pasuk Dalad, Bilam describes himself, the Pasuk says, Ne'um Shomea Imrekel, Asher Machaze Shakaya Chaze, Nofel Ugalui Einayim. The Pasuk describes Bilam. Bilam describes himself as a person who is Nofel Ugalui Einayim. What does that mean exactly? So Rashi says what that means is that Bilam was blind in one eye. Why do we care? Why is that significant that Bilam was blind in one eye? So the Kli Yakar on that pasuk has a beautiful idea where he says that we know, of course, Bilam was a Navi, right? He was really the only Navi for the non-Jews. And he says the reason why Bilam was able to have Nevuah was for this very reason. Because he was blind in one eye, because his physical senses were dimmed, he did not have that same level of, the physical ability to see. Therefore, his spiritual ability to connect to Hashem through Nevuah was enhanced. Like, for example, we know this, a person who's blind oftentimes will have a heightened sense of hearing or a heightened sense of smell, right? Usually when one sense gets turned off, another one gets enhanced. So that same thing is true when it comes to physical and spiritual things as well. Because Bilam was blind in one eye, therefore he was able to have a stronger connection to Hashem. And in fact, the Kli Yakar even says, right, the Kli Yakar even says that that's the reason why we cover our eyes when we say Shema, because we want to dim our physical senses, and by dimming our physical senses, we are able to connect to Hashem from a spiritual vantage point. Just one last point here, which is that the question that many of the Mefarshim are bothered by in the beginning of Maseches Brachos is, why doesn't Maseches Brachos start with the laws of Brachos? Why does it start instead with the laws of Kriya Shema? So Rabbeinu Yeshaya, one of the commentaries on the Rif, says the reason is because Kriya Shema is all about Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. It's about accepting Hashem. Oh, sorry. It's about accepting Hashem as our God. So therefore, he says that that's the very first thing that we need to do before you could talk about anything else. Before you could start talking about brachos, that's the first thing you need to do. So the idea, again, of Shema is that it's meant to be a spiritual connection to Hashem, right? It's the thing that connects the physical and the spiritual, and it's the thing that starts off our day where we kind of proclaim our undying love for Hashem. That's why Parshas Balak, at least in the Gemara thought, should have been something that we could have theoretically said for Shema, again, for all the reasons that we mentioned.